understand that all of the world should bear witness that toxic waste is serious business. We can make the world much better, but we have to do it all together. So make it plain so they won't forget it. A 1, 2, 3, hit it!
No, kill that planet. Kill it. It is August 1990. Julia Roberts is on the cover of Rolling Stone promoting her movie Flatliners. Mariah Carey's Vision of Love is number one on the Billboard charts, and Ghost is number one at the box office. What's with all these death wishes? But you don't care too much about all that because you're covered in avocado halves to get rid of this sunburn, and you're wondering how can you get someone to drive you 45 minutes away to the cool side of town where they have that one record store that says they carry an album by a band called Sonic Youth. This is important because there's a new guy at school who wears a t-shirt that has this band name on it, so you need to know everything about them, and your mom won't let you buy Rolling Stone at the store anymore now that Geraldo said that's where Judas Priest turned those kids into Satanists. This is stressful, but look! Your life-saving magazine has saved your life yet again! There's a mention of Sonic Youth's new album right inside. Let's try not to get any homemade sunburn goo on the couch while we find out what to think about cool music. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
Maybe they'll get it at the library.
I don't know why, but the description made me think that this person is just placing avocado halves on her skin without doing anything with them to make a paste.
All I know is I learned from this podcast you'd need like 37 avocados to do this sort of thing. So why not just like cut them in half and place them all over you?
Sure.
That's the fastest way to get straight to avocado.
Speaking of getting straight to things, let's get straight to what now? Shall we?
Yeah, I'm scrolling. 1 second. Let me. Okay. Our first feature. Nope. What now? Let me get into it. Okay. I'm in. I'm here.
This
rock concert.
Is how annoying I am. Ha ha ha.
I can't believe you would do that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. My off the record is on the board.
That was Pam's audio test today. That's why it took like an extra 30 seconds to get ready for today's show.
Well, I'm sure it was worth it. Rock concert for the deaf. Enough's enough, we learn. It resplendent in spandex and reflective sunglasses, Christina writes. Recently became the first national act to appear at Gallaudet.
Gallaudet.
I'm sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how I say it, but that's fine. This university, the world's only liberal arts college for the deaf, which we've talked about before with the deaf president now protests.
Mm-hmm.
I highlight this article blurb only because Chip Zanuff is the group's founder, and this dude is still going by Chip Zanuff.
That's great.
Chip Zanuff sounds like the 100 calorie pack of Pringles.
I was just going to say.
Yes, it's made of rice flour.
Yeah. Mm.
it's definitely sold near your avocado house, but Chips Enough has an Instagram account, and you can find out how Chip's doing. Mm. I mean, that is some dedication. I didn't know that Enough's Enough did well enough that Chips Enough could still be rocking out with his cocking
out in the world.
Yeah,
yeah,
touring and all. Like, quick, what's an Enough's Enough song?
No, I don't know.
No,
I've heard of them.
I don't know,
but that's it. I would not be able to name one of their songs.
No, Tara, that's Zenuff.
Cows.
There's a little clip here at the bottom, a little clippy in green that says, there's a band named Cows and their album is called Daddy Has a Tail. That's all it says. But so I went Googling Cows. I'm into it. They're a noise rock band out of Minneapolis.
They're all noise rock bands, if you ask me.
Oh, sorry, Grandpa. But lead singer Shannon Selberg was called the Crispin Glover of the noise rock community by Pitchfork. What? I wish I had known about Cows.
What's that mean?
That means he's like a freaking weirdo on stage who might like
kick someone in the eye.
Sure.
And reading articles about him. I did. I don't know why. I deep dove into the cow pit. And there's this Minneapolis local show called What with a period, all lowercase. Mm-hmm. Oh, so we just don't make these shows like we used to. But like it's very Blaine Kapatch host who's making like trying not to make cow puns. Mm-hmm. Including like moving on and all that stuff. He does save it for the end to make his ultimate cow pun before Cows comes on stage. They're noisy and they're loud and they're very of the time. They made like a bunch of albums and Shannon Selberg, I think, still does like interviews and stuff today. I know. I listen to the podcasts.
What you're saying is he hasn't been put out to pasture yet.
You know, they say the 2000s didn't really start until 9/11, 2001. The similar thing, the 90s didn't start in January 1990. They started with the inception of this Minneapolis rock show called What, all lowercase with a period.
That's right.
That's absolutely when the 90s began.
Yeah. In a grunge font.
Yes. And if that happened in 89, that's when the 90s started. So deal with that.
Earth Day garbage. That clip up top that you heard was from the Earth Day special from a couple of months before our contemporary August 1990 issue we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. It was an all-star rap about Earth. Just after that, Will Smith came in and started talking about, yeah, people think he's a joker, but you know what's not a joke? Earth.
And then he said, welcome to Earth, like in Independence Day.
Earth. Anyways, this thing in the what now about Earth Day is, so they had an Earth Day thing in Central Park, and it generated 154.3 tons of garbage, which is great. Perfect. No notes. Keep it up, humanity. You're doing great. Doing great. Oof.
Well, you'd think it was actually because they got there and then they heard any of that you played at the clip, and they're like, fuck this, and just threw all the trash everywhere. Pick this shit up.
It was
what a waste
protest.
Of my time. Yes.
It was a protest against a conscious rap, the worst genre of music there is. Over on the far side of the first page of What Now, we've got the quest for Brooke Shields' child, because they're casting a sequel to The Blue Lagoon. This will eventually be called Return to the Blue Lagoon. And they just mentioned...
Should have called it The Blue Lagoonies. Because it's about children. Thanks.
So they write, Billy Graham, the director, and at no point is anyone think...
Love his crackers.
No relation. Like, no one says, not Reverend Billy Graham. Which, like, of course you don't assume that the Reverend Billy Graham is producing this, or rather directing this softcore sequel about literal children having sex. But even so, it's a weird thing to just let pass without comment. That this and also, if you're this guy, why do you go by Billy Graham professionally? Be Bill.
Yeah, and why don't they mention that Penny DuPont is not actually creating the film on which the film will be shot, because she owns the chemical company DuPont. Right?
Yes. That's funny that you said that, because in my memory, the person that did end up getting cast in this in the boy role was Baltazar Getty, another industrialist heir. But in fact, no, it was Mila Jovovich and future Charmed star Brian Krause, who were, you know, not discovered from an open call like all of these poor losers who never had a chance. They probably had a fun day hanging out in their bikinis waiting for a man named Billy Graham to assess them. Yikes.
Dolphins update, Starkist, Bumblebee Seafoods, Inc., and Chicken of the Sea, somebody called Jessica Simpson, have finally bent under all the boycott pressure and announced that they will not be buying tuna caught in drift nets, which drowned dolphins. If you could remember how proud we were as young people, just wired around, we fucking did it!
We really fucking did something.
We made change happen, but it turns out the decision might actually result in more dolphin deaths, since U.S. fishing companies will be moving to waters where dolphins and tunas don't swim together. And foreign fishing companies who kill more dolphins than U.S. fishing companies will move to the waters where they do swim together. It's always something. But doesn't this sound like when your parents are like, fine, fine, you write your protest. Now you guess what? Now all the dolphins are dying. Now all the dolphins are dying. It's your fault with your little letters mm-hmm. and your little activism. You couldn't stay quiet. Mm-hmm. Was that not how your parents talked to you?
No.
I'm sorry. I had a moment. I had a moment. I heard myself. I heard it that time. Maybe not everyone. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, this more reminds me of like the, you know, when nuclear power was still more of a going concern because it's, you know, cleaner in the moment. And then there's like, well, you either can have greenhouse gases now or you can have nuclear waste until the end of time. It's like, it's always something, you know.
This is why I threw all my trash in Central Park. Fuck it! I threw dolphins at that Earth Day thing. Just like, throw them on the grass.
Speaking of you can't fight it, don't try, Barbie Schmarby, Icecapades Barbie, the lame incarnation of the perky-breasted little doll introduced in February by Mattel, Inc., will make an estimated $15 million in its first year on the market. Summit Barbie, a glasnosed version of herself, is another recent offering. Our Andrea predicts that Pump It Up Barbie, a muscular Nautilus creature, will be their next offering. Before you ask, Dave, they mean Nautilus, the exercise equipment, not the thing with the shell.
That's what I was imagining.
I know Thank it you. Was.
I was too, though, Dave. I Starlog jammed right along with you.
The funny thing about this is reading about anything about Barbie that is not like reverent and extremely bright pink like this blurb is girl power about it. It feels shocking. It feels really disrespectful in the post-Barbie movie. Not saying that I agree with this. Honestly, I have to say, I think Barbie is the movie of 2023 that's going to age the worst. And in 5 years, we'll be like, that was nominated for multiple Oscars and won one. But still, it very successfully rebranded Barbie as a concept in a way that this snarky little blurb feels like, oh, shit, you're going to get letters. They weren't.
We have a cool band alert. Oh, sorry, Dave. Sorry, Dave. Sorry.
This is how annoying I am. Ha 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 ha.
That's really, this is cruel. Throw that clip away.
No. August 27 is a bank holiday in the UK, brackets, not Scotland. So I just had to look it up because I didn't want to leave anybody dangling that's reading all this on the visual aids or the PDF provided for club members. Mm. And the reason why is a bank holiday in the UK, but not Scotland, is this is summer bank holiday because they don't have summers in Scotland. Sassy glottery. Glottery? Sassy glossary. SPAC. SPAC. Stupid. Dense. Spacey. Usage. Christina Applegate plays a real SPAC on Married with Children, but she's not that way in real life. Pam, can you confirm you worked with Christina Applegate on Samantha Who?
Yeah, she's not a SPAC.
She's not SPAC.
She's
no
not
SPAC.
A SPAC? Is it a SPAC or they
Just
are
a SPAC?
A real SPAC.
She plays a real SPAC. SPAC.
Yeah.
A SPAC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're being kind of SPAC about being a SPAC.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't make me play the clip again, Pam.
Cute guy
band.
Alert!
Band.
I'm on it. By guest what now writer and photographer Kim France. Kim says, one of the best things about my gig here at Sassy is that whenever I hear a band I like, I can arrange to interview them over spinach salad and pate, a groovy little outdoor cafes in the East Village, which is exactly what I did with Lionel Nene Bernard and Sean Cavo Dismore, known around these parts as Unity 2. Whew! Their music is a mixture of funk, reggae, hip hop, jazz, and ska. Sit
wow.
down, Pam. That you can dance to, and you can dance to until the cows come home. Matt Dillon, they're still trying to get me. Matt Dillon directed the video to their song Shirley, which they play on Yo MTV Raps pretty regularly. More important than all that, their music deals very innovatively with racial issues. We've believed in this unity thing since day one, says Nene. Adds Cavo. It's a great way to be political without being too political and getting people to dance while you're doing it. It's terrible. Shirley is terrible. There's a link in the show notes. The video stars a model that I am sure Tara knows. and one of them, I don't know which one, used to be in the Toasters, which gave me a flashback to trying to find a Toasters album, a ska album in rural Katy to impress a boy. Wow. When I don't even like ska. But I did get him that Toasters album. It was not easy. It was not easy. And I had forgotten about it until this moment. Thanks.
I don't want to tell them their business, but shouldn't it be Unity 1, not Unity 2? You know, if it's all about Unity.
There's two dudes.
Are they unified or not?
Oh, they're very like, what if Beastie Boys also cared about social issues and knew, like, what if the Beastie Boys knew KRS-One and ska?
Is KRS-One some sort of satellite?
Oh, Dave.
Oh, no. What a spack.
Also, though, I mean, again, with the conscious rap, like, don't make me tap the sign. It's a terrible art form. I can't support it, especially not when you crossbreed it with ska. Absolutely not. No.
Sorry, I had to turn my head all the way around to this one. Plus, I was gobsmacked by Robert Sean Leonard's picture right next to it. He's so cute. Okay, a rumor, which may or may not be true, a tasty little morsel from one of our inside sources, Johnny Depp is up for the lead role in a movie planned for 1991 from Orion Pictures about a teenage musician who gets a hit record and falls in love. However, Orion's publicity department claims to have heard nothing at all about the film. Googling made me think that perhaps... This is the video for Tom Petty's Into the Great Wide Open, which he had shot while he was filming Arizona Dream during the time that the director was away having a nervous breakdown. And the video did very well. Tom Petty liked it a lot. And he said, I even had people coming to me wanting to make it into a movie. So it is possible. This is the movie that was rumored to be this thing that was here in Sassy. I know too much Johnny Depp shit. Help me.
Wow.
You should just have a podcast where you go through everything about Johnny Depp in that cadence.
I do. It's called Listen to Sassy.
Oh, okay, great.
Dead Poet Sighting. Robert Sean Leonard, who played Neil, the boy who commits suicide in Dead Poet Society, wow, spoiler, was recently spotted twice in our lovely city. First, Karen saw him at a screening of Crybaby. Although she didn't recognize Bob's companion, she's convinced that he, too, was a young New York actor, likely place for him to be. A mere week later, Bob sat in front of me at the preview of a rather abstract off-Broadway play, Paradise for the Worried. Afterward, during a discussion with the writer and cast, he very respectfully and self-consciously asked the writer what the ending of the show meant. She didn't give him a straight answer, but I thought he was awfully brave for asking. First of all, we have to celebrate the fact that his question wasn't more of a comment, because people love to do that in a Q&A, and it's the worst thing you can do other than conscious rap. Second, so happy to see the star, the future star of Dave's favorite show, Opera Wars, here on the pages of Sassy Magazine. Yeah.
In a Roots jacket.
Yeah.
I have never seen Dead Poets Society, and thanks to this, I never have to, because now it's been spoiled. He dies.
You never win.
Well, he's not really the lead.
I'm back in.
I mean, I would say he's like a co-lead with Ethan Hawke, no?
Not for the whole movie, I'm understanding.
It's not like, I wouldn't say that this is a movie about Robert Sean Leonard. This is a movie about Robin Williams' character.
Right, yeah, sure, right.
You got that right, buddy.
Okay. Watch it! First of all, Pam, do you want to give your overall comment about all of these movies?
I've seen zero of them. Mm-hmm. I've seen zero of these five films.
That's crazy to me.
These don't seem like films that you tell a 13-year-old girl to go see with her hard-earned money.
What if it was called Total Recall of the Heart?
Yeah, Total Recall of the Heart. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay.
Longtime companion. Who's going to take me to some art house theater to see an AIDS film? That's not playing anywhere in my Metroplex. Mm-hmm. Firebirds. I don't want to see Nick Cage be in a... Is he in a plane? Ugh, whatever. After Dark, My Sweet, maybe, because that sounds good.
It's about a guy who shouldn't be eating chocolate, but does.
Yes. It's the film version of that Kids in the Hall sketch. Right? Yeah. Rethrows the chocolate bar in the
woods.
Oh
my God, it's such a good sketch.
It is such a good sketch.
And I've not seen Back to the Future 3.
Have you seen 2?
I don't think so.
Have you seen 1?
A million times.
Okay. You weren't curious about what was going to happen to part 2? Like, you're already like, oh, I've already been back to the future. I don't need to go again.
Well, they
switched out the... It's a waste of my time.
I'm trying to answer.
I spent so much time looking for this fucking.
I'm gonna go back.
Sonic
in time.
Youth album. I don't have time for your movies.
It was the toasters, but fine. You don't care. I'm not gonna answer this question.
You said you looked. No. Hold on. I did pay attention. You said you looked for both of those albums during this episode.
No, one was The Diarist, who is not me.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Oops. I apologize.
My God, this house of cards is crumbling. I don't know which one's the Western, but that's why I didn't see that one. The second one, isn't that they just tried to pretend the love interest was some other person and we weren't supposed to notice that they switched out whoever was the
lady?
Isn't that her name?
The first one, it was Leah Thompson. And in the second one, isn't it like...
No.
Leah Thompson's the mom.
Leah Thompson plays his mother.
You haven't seen Back to the Future, you fucking liar.
I'm old and I'm forgetting my childhood.
I'm surprised I didn't see Firebirds because I would watch all Nicolas Cage things.
It's Top Gun with helicopters, by the way.
Oh.
That's that movie.
All right.
With Tommy Lee Jones as the army guy and Sean Young as the instructor or something like that. And I watched the trailer because I didn't know what this is. And I thought, like, I knew all the Nick Cage action movies.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer is the movie in 2 minutes. It's like, you know, when YouTube people do this movie in 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
The trailer did that. Like, it's chronologically what's happening in the movie.
Wow.
And I think they showed the guy getting killed at the end.
Oh, my God.
So, Firebirds.
Total Recall is a pretty good movie.
Total Recall is a great 80s action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or 90s, I guess. Spiritually, we're in the 80s. Pam, if you ever see it, get ready for a surprise. That's from the movie.
Oh, I was like, is Peter DeLuise in it?
What do you? Yep. He plays the third tit.
I bet he was great.
We skipped Longtime Companion, except to say I have seen that one. Bruce Davison was nominated for an Oscar for it. It's funny that the way they write about it is extremely of its time, where it's like, it treats gay people like they're just people. And it's a very, like, no gay person was involved in the making of this film at any point. It has 0% actual gay involvement behind the camera, I'm sure. But, you know, it's fine. I guess it's important for people to learn from films that dying from AIDS is sad. This is where we were in 1990. People weren't fucking peaches.
Wait, were we in a pre-peach fucking or a post-peach fucking society when this happened to you?
Pre!
No, I mean, that's just now.
Fucking a peach?
Yeah.
Back to the Future 4, which I guess you never saw.
No, that's what happens in Call Me By Your Name.
Isn't it a plum?
No, it's a peach.
No, it is not a plum.
Right.
Plum is too small.
I don't know.
He's just trying to pretend he knows.
He's like,
I thought it was grapes. I thought it was grapes.
We saw it together.
I thought it was a waste of fruit. I just saw the title.
We skipped over our hit of the month, but also getting 5 stars is Stuck Together with God's Glue by Something Happens. Christina reviews it. She tells us this is actually their second album, but their first was not released in the U.S. She loves the Irish. She loves this album. You know, it's very, like, jangly guitar based on that one song, which is called Hello, 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 in parentheses, Petrol. And that's not a joke.
What?
Because I couldn't make that up. I'm not that clever. That's what the song is called. You would never guess it from how it sounds, but it's true.
That is like that time we were lost in Iceland and Jason got the giggles and couldn't stop saying petrol and cheese over and over again from Mitchell and Webb. Like, it's the only other time I've heard the word petrol. Around y'all.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
If you told me that this is how Irish people explained the birds and the bees, and they said, you're stuck together with God's glue and something happens.
Yeah. That does seem like it's from Dairy Girls, for sure.
I don't understand. Stuck together with God's glue is so gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I found them in the back, stuck together with God's glue.
You want to stick 2 peaches together.
Oh.
Get some of that God's glue.
To pry them apart with my crucifix.
Oh,
gross.
This album ranked number 33 on the Irish Times 2008 list of the top 40 Irish albums, which is a lot of qualifiers, but still there are a lot of Irish bands, so congratulations to Something Happens for happening onto that list.
I like how this one ends after explaining that the reason there's so much good Irish music is because the fat bottom of the bell of the population chart that's under 25 is just bored out of their skull because they can't find jobs. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, whatever the reason, I'm just happy this album's out. Okay. A lot of good music coming out of South Africa. I don't know why, but keep it up. Wasn't expecting that. Yeah. It's just a bunch of noise, if you ask me.
No, he's about to talk for a minute.
Yeah.
You cut it off.
I did cut it off.
That's Chuck D. It's
yeah,
fine.
Open up that tin of poppycock and have some caramelized popcorn.
Dave, that's News Radio's own Chuck D.
Yeah, no. It's a big, yeah, it's about to get cooler in there.
Thanks for qualifying that as News Radio's Chuck
yeah,
D.
That yeah, that was for you.
I'll avoid Mary's 4-star review here of Goo, which is mostly like a girl who doesn't know what she's talking about, trying to be cool.
Yeah. But
this is a great album. I didn't know it was the first, I didn't remember. It was the first album that they did with Geffen Records. You know, it could have gone wrong. It didn't. It's great. Kim Gordon's still awesome right now. But all of which to say, I went down a rabbit hole of, I have a Goo album t-shirt that people think is from high school, but it's not. But it's like Japanese fabric and it's vintagey or whatever. I thought, well, who made this iconic image that you can see on all kinds of things? Well, I wish I hadn't.
Oh, shit. Is it Hitler?
Well, no, but it's murder. So those of you who are like, I love murder stories, it's a murder story. And the cool couple on the cover that are like, 5 minutes later, we killed my sister-in-law killed my parents when we were on the road or whatever. That picture is from a couple who, the dude in particular, who told, these are not the words to use, but I don't have a murder podcast. The Moore's murderers were a big deal. And this dude is, who's in the image, is the one who witnessed one of the murders and then confessed to their crimes and got them arrested. But for like the rest of his life, he was pegged as like a murderer and a horrible person. And his life was awful. And he died unable to find all of the children that were missing and killed. And so I'm like, man, it says right over their heads, like, we went and killed a bunch of people. And those are the two people who did not kill anyone, but in fact, were on their way to the trial to be snitch, brave and ruin their lives. Oh. Wait, snitch!
Just trying to be, you know, is the implication here?
Can you snitch on a multiple child
murderers?
Obviously
joking. Yes, of course it's not
Your
snitching.
Honor,
just
she
trying
was joking
to be pithy. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Leash. Anyway, Dave.
Yeah?
I see you're cool. Speaking of cool things, Dave writes here, I skipped seeing them at Lollapalooza because I was tired and I wanted to avoid the parking lot exit clusterfuck. I still couldn't tell you one of their songs. That's exactly how Dave wrote it.
It's an interesting translation of that.
This is the Dave voice. He talks this way all the time.
I wasn't bragging.
Still couldn't tell you one of their songs. It's kind of
I've had my fucking fill of Lollapalooza. I want to go home.
First of all, that sucks. I'm so sad you didn't get to see them.
Secondly, I would have cared.
I think you... Well, if you don't know Cool Thing, which is what you were playing, that you think is some guy at one point's like, yeah, Parcheesi. Oh, Cool Things. Like, that's not what's about to happen in that
Why
song.
Why is he singing about Parcheesi?
And not- I think he doesn't. I think you probably know two or three Sonic Youth songs accidentally.
Yeah.
But if you don't know Cool Thing, that's a tough one, because this is pretty high up there.
This video is also really good. It looks like they finally got a budget for the first time and they were like, we're going to fucking spend it. And it's sad to think about Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore breaking up because he totally cheated on her, because he's really cute in this video too.
I have mentioned on this podcast before, I'm sure, but anybody want to, I'll ask Pam because I think Tara probably can guess, but what shirt did I wear to Lollapalooza 1990?
Oh, 1990. Dave, I just want to let you know.
Or 91. I'm not sure when it was, but.
Oh,
What shirt in 1990 did you wear to Lollapalooza?
I think it was whenever they headlined Lollapalooza, whatever year that was.
I mean, is it not a Simpsons shirt? I don't know what you did in the 90s. Like, I don't know what you did before I knew you.
Yeah. Well, once you hear it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, right. Everybody wore that shirt. It was my Charlie Brown shirt.
That's what I was going to guess. I had my hand up.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Was it huge?
Yeah.
Per the style.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was big.
All the clothes were huge in the 90s. We're watching Dawson's Creek now, which is like late 90s, 98. And like the pants, so wide on the boys. They could all fit in one pair.
One is fun, why not two? And if you like two, might as well have four. And if you like four, why not a few? Why not a
Is this
slew?
A children's
four.
Album?
No, this is Unity 1/2, trying to figure out what their name is.
More. If you got a little, why not a lot? Add a bit and it'll get to be a noodle. Every jot and tittle, add to the pot. Soon you got the kid as well as the caboodle. More.
Oh my God.
More.
Kim gives I'm Breathless 2 stars. This is the quasi concept album that Madonna made from being in Dick Tracy. That song that we just heard called More is actually in the movie. It was written, as were 2 other songs on this album, Sooner or Later is another one, by Stephen Sondheim, which you would never know. And Kim's review is like, I love Madonna. The only song on this album that's worth a shit is Vogue. Everything else is extremely annoying. And she's like, when you put on that annoying Betty Boop voice, which she did for the character, kind of, but not really, it's like she can't sing in this mode. Like she's this, it's, and even so, I grant that although I liked it very much and that was a really fun song to sing along to in its day, I know how annoying it is. I just want everyone to understand. I know how dumb it is.
It made me into a Sonic Youth fan. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, I like Unity 2 now. How about that?
Unity 3, why not? Let's do it.
Sure, bring them all on. More! Mm-hmm. But I thought for sure that all the orphans from Annie were about to keep singing.
You know, it's set in the same roughly period, and it's also a comic strip movie. Like, it's, you know, like I said, it's a concept. Is it a concept that's executed well? No, but I liked it anyway.
I'm not okay. That was terrible.
That's why I picked that one in particular. I could have clipped Vogue, but everyone knows what Vogue sounds like. No one knows what that song sounds like, written by Stephen Sondheim.
How dare they share an album? That's not fair to do to people.
Ugh. You could just buy the single of Vogue and you'd be fine.
Wanda Watch, Michael Rank. This picture of this dude that we've never heard of or ever heard from since. He is not one to watch. Mm-mm. This picture looks like they're April Fools-ing us because he doesn't look like one to watch. It looks like you can barely see him anyway. He's just hair on a leopard print couch. He's like an early Tarantino character.
Mm-hmm. He's like Steve Zahn's cooler looking brother who rolled around in pig shit for a little bit.
Yeah, he does not comb or brush his hair.
This photo smells.
It smells like patchouli for sure.
It smells like patchouli and crotch sweat.
Mm-hmm. Is he wearing a vest or is that a scarf like he's Steven Tyler? Who knows? Everything, there's a lot of fabrics.
Yeah, because what's on the left, it looks like there's there's a sharp line, like a lapel or something.
We should take turns naming things in the photo.
Okay. That's okay. A sword.
He's got very long hair.
charm bracelet, question mark?
Eagle talon, I think it is.
Yes, but I want to go back to the charm bracelet question mark because they are giant hearts. Yeah. Or
it's where he keeps his Hershey Kisses. That's how big they are. Something sweet for After Dark. What the fuck was that? I've already forgotten.
After Dark, my sweet.
After Dark, my sweet bracelet. And
a lady's embroidered coral chiffon top.
Yeah, that's from Putumayo from that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine is harassing the shopkeeper. Mm-hmm. Dave, your turn.
It is a vest, I think.
I think it's a vest and a scarf, honestly.
Ooh.
I think he's doubling up.
Cest.
Anyway, Pam, you're next.
Varf.
Well, and there's a black line that cuts across his chest hair, and I don't know if that's an article of clothing or a guitar strap.
I think it's a skinny scarf, I'm sorry to say.
No. Really? It's probably his dirt satchel. So when he gets too clean, he can go in there and rub some more on him. His name's Michael Rank, too. I mean, it's not helping matters.
His name is Michael Rank.
He is living up to the name. Mm.
Michael Rank, Knee Stinkman.
Okay. It's as if Michael Hutchins bathed less and got a little more underground. He'd look kind of like Michael Rank, the 24-year-old lead singer of Snatches of Pink.
Your vagina.
The Chapel Hill, North Carolina-based band plays very loud, punky New York Dolls-influenced music that Jane and I have been addicted to ever since we saw them do a goofy cover of Sweet Home Alabama at CBGB's in New York City. God. Jane didn't tell me till after I'd interviewed him that she and Michael went to high school together, a Quaker school, if you can believe it.
And that's why Michael Rank is one to watch.
Yeah, that is it.
Friends of the editors to watch.
Gladys Rank, his mother, called Jane's mother and was like, can you put Michael in the magazine? And that's why we are looking at this today.
Remember when Michael pulled you out of the river? Now you have to pay him back.
Michael Rank's Wikipedia page is longer than some Oscar nomination people of the last couple of years, I'd like to say.
Well, that's what Michael Rank does in his spare time.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
He's trying to move up the Michael Ranks on Wikipedia's pages.
Whenever Michael Rank is not on screen, people should be asking, where's Michael Rank?
His first solo album was called Coral, so maybe this shirt was just the beginning.
The second album was...
This is longer than I would have thought we were going to talk about Michael Rank.
I'm just waiting for somebody to ask me for my determination, as is our tradition.
Oh, okay, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, but perhaps one to smell.
/720 Sassy Go, Michael Rank, give us a call. How is North Carolina? You told us where
Michael
you live.
Rank was mentioned on the podcast. Listen to Sassy, recorded April 3rd, 2024.
I can't wait. We're calling this episode Michael Rank, Michael Rank, and Michael Rank. And the blurb is just going to be Michael Rank because you know this motherfucker has a fucking Google alert set for himself.
What's your I'm Michael excited. Ranking?
Only one feature this month. Somehow it's not about Michael Rank. It is, in fact, about Kip Winger. They sent Anne.
Could be the same guy, though, kind of.
Kind of.
Kind of. Better hair.
Yeah. Anne is the headbanger, so they sent her to Los Angeles to interview this guy. And it's called Kip Winger Thinks, Therefore He Is. My first note on this is... Kip has some incredibly impressive teeth, and he does. This is before, like, the widespread tooth whitening technology, and his chompers are, like, they look fantastic. For 1990, I'm really impressed, honestly. What?
Well, no, it's, I mean, yeah, he does. He's got a great smile. He had a good orthodontist, and they may have whitened his teeth for the photo, right?
Sure. Wow, you were just wonder-killing everything this week, aren't you?
I don't want to burst your bubble.
Can I take your order? Yes, please. I would like some Kip Wingers and a side of Chips Enough.
Yes, Kip Wingers are like definitely on the menu sauce? At Flingers in Office Space, for sure. I mean, they might be, because he had a feud with Mike Judge. They roasted him on Beavis and Butthead, and now Mike Judge is on the list of people who have apologized for being shitty to Kip Winger in the 90s, because he was kind of a punchline.
Did Kip Winger, like, cry publicly at some point? Because he got a lot of people came back and said, oh, Jesus Christ, we're sorry, Kip, just stop crying, or whatever.
I don't know how they arrived at these apologies, but they happened, because he got one from Metallica as well, who put a picture of him on a dartboard in one of their videos.
Oh.
And then,
wow.
Later, we're like, oh, that was kind of shitty.
So
sorry.
What is it? Is because it's easy to forget through the passage of time how, like, big, bad, and tough this image was supposed to present as a contemporary image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it just looks like, boy, this guy loves the beach.
Well,
but back then, it was metal adjacent.
Yes.
It was bad boy adjacent.
Right.
Not you know, I got to go downstairs and smoke some stuff that the kid's not supposed to smell.
Yes. I think it was like this guy, Nelson. Do you remember Nelson?
Yeah.
The twins. Mm-hmm. Nelson and Bon Jovi were all like in the same sort of category of like, as you said, metal adjacent, but definitely like middle of the road pop shit. And
like
they just were
sellouts to the cause.
Yes. Yeah. So I think they all were kind of lumped together as being like inauthentic.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why bands like Metallica and characters like Beavis and Butthead use them as a punching bag.
And then Metallica puts out Enter Sandman and all the albums after that. And they're like, well, I guess we better apologize because now we're him.
Yes. But he came up through like Alice Cooper's band.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be that where it's like that guy, like mm-hmm. these are the people being like, this guy's like, you know, flipping his hair like he's here I go again on my own. But he's not. He's
right.
singing. She's only 17.
Well,
daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me.
That's before America's love affair with grooming ended.
Right. Mm. Well, I mean, I was like sort of on board with him. I was like, oh, he's like got real, musician's chops. He did ballet, like justice for Kip Winger. And then I listened to 17 and was like, oh, never mind. So why don't you play that clip?
That could be Aerosmith to me.
For sure.
This is
absolutely.
Exactly the same music.
Yeah. Yes. Aerosmith is also in that category, I would say. But, oh, I mean, everything going down in your head. She said, take it easy. I need some time. Oh, yuck. Yuck.
Yeah. This was right around She's My Cherry Pie, right? Uh-huh. We were just up in Little Girl Poon.
Wow. Okay, well.
Hot, sweet, and sexy.
If you were trying to be worse than Kip Winger, first of all, mission accomplished. Anyway, I think what we've all learned is Kip Winger is a land of contrasts, and I don't want to be there anymore. And
Wait, fuck this guy. But according to Wikipedia, I'd like you to know his full name. Are
okay.
you ready?
Oh, wait. Let's guess. Kipling? Kip Tholomew?
Kip Defer.
Kip Tholomew? Charles Frederick Kip Winger.
All right. Tally-ho.
No, Charles. He was a ballerina. No, that's not what they're called when they're boys. But he was a ballet person.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Charles Frederick Kip Winger. And then at one point, he played for Alice Cooper. And then, I'm getting down on your little girl. Like, I get it. I get being over it.
He's kept up his chops. He's still at it. He's premiering a violin concerto with the Nashville Symphony next year. So buy your tickets. I bet they are very affordable.
Here's what he should have done. Mm. Every year after 17, he should have done a song for the next year.
She's only 48.
Yeah. Now it would be like, yeah, exactly.
Taking lots of supplements, but her knees are hanging great.
Mid-40s woman.
Dear Weird Al, it's not too late.
Shopping for wine glasses. What happened?
She's got a vision board. 31.
I thought you were gonna say she's got a vision problem as well.
Cataracts clean. Kip Winger also made a musical about Jack the Ripper. Just if you ever think maybe I'll like him again, then he made one using the canonical five. Five female victims.
He really got resolved. Jack the Ripper.
You got that right, buddy.
Next time, we'll be talking about the fashion, etc. of the August 1990 issue. Figure out your back-to-school look. Try some cosmic beauty, whatever that means. Pour over the ads, including a whole new one for Philippa.
Is it not a racist? Don't worry about it.
All of that and more. For my plug this week, we have enjoyed a lot of mid-century vintage fashion in the pages of Sassy, and that's pretty much the only thing to enjoy in Apple TV Plus's new sitcom, Palm Royale. I reviewed it at Cracked. It's bad. You can find the link in the show notes.
All right.
Pam's got a plug.
Plam. Take it away.
Plam. I'll allow it. For my plug this week, play also known as the Plam on the Fam, I was on Script Notes co-hosting with the wonderful John August. We talk about why whisper is so common these days in movies, and you can give it a listen in the show notes. We have a link. Sorry about Little Girl Poon. Sorry.
That guy should do a podcast where each podcast is the next month.
Huh.
You're here with John September. Today we're talking about no notes. Perfect. Join the Listen to Sassy Club because we need money because I need a new office chair. Listen how creaky this is.
Can you do that? That's going to be all in the podcast.
It is really creaky. And when I have to sit in it to do anything at Dave's desk, the cushion is like is basically non-existent. He has squished this cushion down in the years of having this chair.
Well, I think we figured out his hip problems. Get a new chair, Cynthia. It's your hip.
Listen to sassy.com/club. Proceeds will go directly to getting me a new fabulous $119 to $238 office chair.
Yep.
He's only 53. His hips hurt a lot, but he's old enough for me.
He's not even 52 yet.
I know that, but it rhymes.
I am falling apart, though. So remind everybody, this is the outro.
Well, this is a gift if you did not fast forward. We're still here. Yeah. Thank you for also being here.
Yeah. Take it away, Pam.
Oh, great. 720 Sassy Go. Come and join all of the fun. You can leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine, and we will, honestly, we will play it on a future episode. We've played people just being shitty to me. We don't care. We have no standards. Go to listentosassy.com to bid on Dave's old squeaky chair. He's going to fall out of this one. This will be his last podcast. So 720 Sassy Go, say your regrets to Dave. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time with 100% less references to Little Girl Poon. Really?
I'm this sorry. This is the first time?
Stop it.
I can't.
This is not a bit. I hurt my hip doing the sounds on the chair.
Oh, Dave.
I bet you did.
Dave.
No.
Ah, wipe out.